Paul Ramo here in the studios, and we have some special guests in our studio right now. We're going to have a little discussion about the opioid crisis going on in our country, not only in our country, but here in our Q92 listening area. And I've asked Marcy Schmiesing, a nurse practitioner at Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital, and Shelly Ellington from Montevideo to join us here. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
You're welcome.
On a nice day, huh?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for coming in. Marcy, you're a familiar name around here. You graduated from Madison,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I used to be Marcy Stensrud, and so I did grow up in this area, so this is kind of my home country, and pleasure to be here.
Yeah, graduated of Madison High School, right?
Yep, back in, well, I won't say the year, I'd be dating myself.
All right, thanks for coming in, Marcy. And Shelly, you're from the Montevideo area?
Right. I am okay. From Montevideo, born and raised there.
All right.
So familiar with Madison and your listening area.
All right, good. I've asked Marcy and Shelly to come in to talk about the opioid crisis. I was in a meeting that Marcy invited me to last week in Montevideo where Senator Amy Klobuchar attended, and they talked about what is happening. Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital received the grant, and just about general opioid opioid crisis. Marcy, why don't you tell us a little bit about exactly, let's start from the ground floor. Some people don't understand what this what we're talking about here.
Well, the opioid crisis has developed over a period of time. I've been in the nursing profession for about 35 years, and so during that time in the 1990s, they came out with information saying that pain is our fifth vital sign. And we were taught that we needed to treat our patients for pain and that no one had to have pain and that they had medications to use. And that was something that was really pushed by the pharmaceutical companies. And so as a nurse, to me, that was kind of good news because the last thing we want is to see our patients suffer. And so it started then, and the doctors were widely prescribing it. We weren't led to believe in the beginning that this would be an addictive medication and that it would devastate the lives like it has. Mm-hmm. But over time, I've seen how that has impacted the population here, and we've seen it across the country. In Minnesota alone in 2016, there were 395 opioid overdose deaths just in Minnesota alone. And so this is a really huge problem. And so we have learned more about opioid addiction and the devastation that it has. And we at Montevideo had two doctors come down about a little over a year ago from Little Falls, and they have created a program there to work with patients who are addicted to opioids and heroin. And it was very effective. And so the state of Minnesota is looking to replicate their program. And they did a grant, and we were one of the recipients of that grant this year. And so we have begun our program now in Montevideo, and we're working to help people that are addicted to opioids and mm-hmm. heroin. And we just feel like we didn't create this problem, but we want to be part of helping and be part of the solution.
Right. Opioids, what exactly is that? I mean, what is it, a prescription drugs? Is that what we're talking about mainly, or
opioids are they're a natural form. The natural form that you probably hear the most about is like cocaine and morphine. Mm-hmm. Those are the natural forms in medications that we see: oxycodone, hydrocodone, and then there's synthetic, which is man-made opioids.
Okay.
And those most common ones that you hear about are fentanyl and tramadol.
Okay.
Are two of them. And those are widely used as well. And you've probably...
Now, those are painkillers then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They're all used to treat pain.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's what is prescribed by doctors?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they get hooked on it. After their symptoms are gone away, they still stay on it? Or how do they get their prescription? How do they get their pills? Shelly?
So three out of four people that use heroin started off on prescription pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an extremely important statistic for everybody to understand, because I know for me, when I thought about somebody who was addicted to heroin, I had an image in my head of what that looked like,
right.
Probably like what you did
and
you as well, Marcy. And then you come to realize that that's not really what it is. It's really somebody that's your neighbor,
right.
Your child, your mother,
right.
It's your it's our family members that get addicted to these. So they take pain pills for really acute injuries or chronic pain, and some people end up being dependent on that medication.
Right.
The molecular difference between heroin and these prescription pain pills is minute. They're virtually the same thing.
Okay. I've asked Shelley to come in because she has a story to tell. I heard part of her story last week with Senator Klobuchar. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your story and how you got involved in this.
Right. About a couple of years I've been at this. And this started after the loss of my daughter, Casey Jo. When Casey was 18 years old, she was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is a painful abdominal anti-inflammatory type condition. And it varies. It can be really painful. It can be easily treated. And hers was pretty easily treated just with diet and medication. Right. And as it got worse, she started being prescribed opioids, Dilaudid, Oxycontin, oxycodone, and fentanyl. So over the course of about 2 years, she was taking these medications. But at the same time, no, we weren't really treating her disease. We were just treating the symptoms of the pain.
The pain.
Mm-hmm. So.
And this is all through a doctor's prescription like anybody else, right?
And she was a young girl. I mean, when she got 18, a bottle.
18, did you say?
She didn't start on the pain meds till she was about 20. I would say 23.
Okay.
So she kind of managed with this disease from 18 to 23, then started taking the medications about then to start managing the pain. But what happened, like I said, is that the whole time she's taking these pain pills, her intestine is narrowing to the size of a pencil.
Mm.
So everything's getting worse. Now she's addicted to these pain medications. She's having surgeries. She's having a difficult time recovering in the hospital because she's been taking so many pain pills. She was a horrific patient to have. She could not get any pain relief. She's having procedures that the rest of us would have, and she was in horrific pain. So that's when I realized that something was really wrong. So I did try and talk with her about it. We had a doctor down at Abbott that she was networking with to try and help her with these pain meds. By this time, she's addicted, and she doesn't want to be without them.
Okay. So, now, is she about doing her business or school or work?
She had been in college, had to quit college. She came back to Montevideo, worked at the hospital as a phlebotomist, loved her work there, but the disease had kind of progressed where she couldn't work. She ended up moving up to Alexandria where she was going to start school again, and that's where things got really bad.
Okay.
So she had surgeries that went kind of south. She ended up becoming septic. She had just had a really difficult time recovering, and then more and more and more pain pills. So we realize it's bad. I start to kind of ask around, like, where can we get some help? I'm in nursing school at the time, so I go to a local treatment center. I was doing a day at for school I ask about Suboxone, even one of the meds we're going to talk about later, and nope, we're not interested. We don't take patients with that. I went to her doctor with her. And we had a very open relationship with her doctor. He didn't know what to do. So, in fact, one of the things he said was, I don't know what to do.
And they just take her off it?
So they tried to taper her off of these meds, and it's much more difficult than it sounds.
Okay.
After you've been on them for so long at such high levels, the taper is very slow, and Marcy can talk a little bit more about the medical piece of a taper and what that looks like. But really where people struggle with an opioid addiction is the withdrawal symptoms. When you don't have the opioids anymore, that's where things get complicated.
Okay. And so when she gets addicted, and she got off the pills, then what happened to her? I mean,
she never got off the pills.
Oh, she went,
So she took me months and months to talk to her and say, Casey, we really need to get you some help. And she was out visiting her cousin out in California, and she called me on the phone, and she said, all right, I need help. I need help.
Good.
And it was the first time I'd heard her say that. And it was one of the last times I spoke to her, and she said, it's not my fault. And that really hit home to me because it wasn't her fault.
Right.
So it was hard to help her, and it was hard for her to recognize that she needed help. She was taking medications that was prescribed to her by a doctor, and now she's addicted, and now people are looking at her like, what are you going to do about it? Now it's your problem. Now it was our problem to deal with. So I think that's where I felt so bad for her mm-hmm. was that this really wasn't. But then trying to find resources to help her was nearly impossible.
Okay.
So that's kind of where it happened. She ended up being accepted into a program. She was due to arrive there on August 20th, 2015. And I was called to say that she had died on August 19th.
Oh, wow.
The day before.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's got it tough. So
it's tough.
Yep.
I think I learned a lot since then because I didn't really realize we were in the middle of an epidemic. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
And I was in nursing school. Yeah. I should have known it, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of awareness from that point on.
Right. So you're been in contact with Senator Amy Klobuchar. Yeah. How'd you get this ball going?
She came to Montevideo right after, just a few months after Casey died, mm-hmm. and the police chief in Montevideo called me up and he said, you know, she's here to talk about opioids. I think you should be here, because I had been kind of vocal about our concerns about Casey. So I showed up and met her and talked to her many times and done many events with her since.
Well, good. Marcy, talk a little bit about, you know, Shelly's looking for help, and now this is where we're at. We're starting programs in our area mm-hmm. where people that are addicted can get help. All right, talk a little bit about that.
So about 2 years ago, I attended a pain conference put on by Mayo Clinic. It was a three-day conference and learned all the different modalities of ways of treating pain, including opioids. But they talked a lot about the opioid crisis at that conference. And then, and that was in 2 years ago, and then a year ago, then we had these doctors that came from Little Falls down to talk to us about it, and it just seemed like things were kind of falling into place, and Shelley was part of that, mm-hmm. and so we formed a team at Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital, and that team has, we've kind of come up with ways that we feel like we want to deal with this in our facility. We're not here to take away the opioids. That's not our
right.
intent at all. We're still going to treat people for pain appropriately, but we want to make it safer for everyone involved, and that's kind of the driving force behind all of
right.
this. We know that people are dying every day, and we don't want those to be deaths that are happening on our watch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as caregivers, you know, and prescribers ourselves, we have that ability to prescribe opioids, but we want to do it safely.
Right.
And so we're working in our facility to try and develop ways to do that with our doctors and nurse practitioners okay. and physician's assistants.
So if somebody's listening, knows they're addicted to painkillers or to opioids, and now they have a number or they know a place where they can go for help, right?
Right.
Is that what it's about?
And what it's really great is you can go to a clinic and go to maybe even the clinic that you go to or a doctor that you've seen before. And I think that's where we felt the missing link was when we're talking to Casey's doctor together, her and I, and he didn't have any resources
mm-hmm.
To be able to help her. And so this is just a great resource back to your doctor, because just like any condition we have, whether you have heart disease, diabetes, anything, you yep. go to your doctor and you get a referral and they help you. And addiction, particularly this addiction, shouldn't be really treated any differently.
Okay. What's Little Falls doing? That's I know some of the doctors were there at this meeting. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? I mean, let's say I'm addicted, and let's go into details a little bit. How would you take care of me? How would you help me?
So we get a call from a patient that's on medication they're taking heroin or prescription drugs and they're addicted and they want to get off of those medicines. We have a way to kind of facilitate that, and we use a drug called Suboxone. And Suboxone is a medicine that's been used now for some time to treat opioid addiction. And what it does is it suppresses the cravings and it replaces the medication that they've been taking. So mm-hmm. if they've been taking oxycodone or morphine or whatever, it replaces that and it takes the cravings away. And then we facilitate the process of getting them into a treatment center. That's a big
okay.
part of it. It's the drug isn't going to be the end to
right.
fixing this problem, but it's a stepping stone for the patient to be able to get through that withdrawal period that they go through and to suppress the cravings so that they can get the counseling and the help that they need to
right.
move on with their life.
Okay. Shelley, what kind of work have you done with Senator Klobuchar? Or you've been involved in the state level with Governor Dayton?
Yeah.
I know I got to tell our listeners, you were a guest of Senator Klobuchar. Tell us a little bit about that.
So through my work with the senator, we've done a lot of events together, a lot of roundtable discussions, a lot of panel discussions in local communities across the state. And I got a call one day asking to be her guest at the State of the Union this past winter. I thought they were kidding, actually. I was like, me?
That's awesome.
It really was. It was quite an honor to be asked. It was an honor to be there. President Trump mentioned the opioid crisis, and they've developed a team on a federal level to work on that. They have some great ideas. Most of it we're looking for is funding, of course. This is costing taxpayers a lot of money. It just is. Anytime somebody dies, anytime we're dealing with a public health crisis, we're dealing with taxpayer money, and we got to try and mitigate that. So on the state level, I also work with our legislators. I work with Representative Dave Baker out of Willmar. Dave lost his son Dan to an overdose several years ago, and Senator Chris Eaton, who also lost her daughter. So a Republican and a Democratic representatives from our state working together to put together some amazing legislation, good bipartisan work.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
What's this grant that Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital received then?
So the grant that we received was a $75,000 grant. The state of Minnesota actually received some federal funding, and then those dollars are going to be dispersed through programs like ours. So there are 8 programs in Minnesota that were given grants, and like I said earlier, we're hoping to replicate the program that they've done up in Little Falls because they've had wonderful success with it. And the program started in May, and we've had a couple patients already, and we've got the phone ringing pretty steady ever since. So we're very excited to be able to reach out and help people and work on a solution.
Like I said, I was at that meeting and it just kind of opened my eyes to what's happening around. I didn't even know this was happening around me. And so this is a good educational tool to use, or to you want to teach people, right?
We learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And I don't want other people to have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Every time that we can make a referral and bring somebody into Marcy or the other docs at the clinic to help them, and somebody can get the help they need, it makes our loss sting a little bit less.
Right. What's happening on the doctor's end and the pharmacy? Anything you can talk about there?
Well, there is some. DHS in Minnesota has released some guidelines for prescribing, for prescribers, which will be really important for people to know. This is also happening on a federal level. So certainly not Little Falls has invented this wheel. They're really just taking these guidelines and working with them and trying to make things a little bit easier for patients. It's going to be uncomfortable for people who are currently taking these medications, but they need to understand that when you're working with the docs up here in Montevideo, that they're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure you're safe, and they're going to make sure you're comfortable. They're not there to make anybody, miserable or uncomfortable. They're there to help.
Dr. Hannah, Dr. Patrick Hannah, and myself have taken a special training to be able to get a waiver for our prescribing practice so that we can order this medication for patients.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. The Montevideo Police Department has this. Is that one of the first ones in the state?
Montevideo Police Department.
Explain that drug. What is it for exactly, and how do they use it?
Oh, great. So this is so there's two different drugs we're talking about, and they commonly get interchanged. The Suboxone is a drug that is used to reduce the cravings of opioid addiction or withdrawal. The Naloxone or Narcan is used to reverse an overdose. So Montevideo Police was one of the first rural police departments in Minnesota to carry it, and within a month after carrying it, they actually had a save. You know, there are several people walking around our community that wouldn't be here if they hadn't had it. So they've given out life-saving awards, and they're very proud of being able to save lives with this medication. Pharmacies can prescribe this. We do trainings for it. We really want to encourage all people, if you have anybody in your house taking painkillers, to have naloxone in the house.
Okay. And how do they get that then?
They can get it from me.
Oh, okay.
or any pharmacy.
All right, there you go.
I distribute and train on naloxone. I get that material from the Steve Rumler Hope Network, which is an advocacy group in Minnesota that distributes naloxone.
Okay. Now, isn't this kind of what Prince passed away from, too?
Well, Prince was taking Vicodin, but they found that the Vicodin was laced with fentanyl.
Okay.
And that was actually the cause of death.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And that's not uncommon. I think as people, and that, you know, we're like Senator Klobuchar said at that meeting, we realized that this was going to get worse.
Right.
As we start putting more guidelines out there for prescribers, as we start trying to work through this crisis, we realize that people are going to be at risk, who are kind of in this donut hole of addiction right now.
Right.
So, that what you're seeing, people who may be tapering off meds, kind of like Casey, she started using heroin when she couldn't get it, the medication level.
When she couldn't get the prescribed medication, she turned to something else.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's probably a similar story to Prince. You know, all of a sudden you're buying pills, and when you do that, you don't know what you're getting.
Okay.
So we really want to encourage people to seek out assistance here at the Montevideo Clinic with these docs instead of buying pills on the street. You do not know what you're getting.
Right.
And they can kill. One pill.
Yeah, one pill can kill.
Yes.
Yep. Talk a little bit about, we got a few minutes here yet, but talk a little bit about how can people contact you? You know, you have to want to be treated, right? Mm-hmm. And if you got a family member, maybe there's some people listening that have family members that you know they're addicted to pills. I mean, how do you relate to that? How can you tell them, hey, look, go to Montevideo, they have a place for help?
I'll let Marcy tell you how to contact, but I just want to preface that with every heroin addict wants to be treated. Nobody addicted to heroin wants to be a heroin addict.
Okay.
Nobody addicted to these opioids wants to be addicted. It's a miserable life.
Mm-hmm.
So she can tell you
how to reach out. It changes your brain. Heroin and opioids change your brain, and it changes the way you think and the way you normally would process things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really truly is a disease. One that we now can treat.
Right. And it's around our area. That's what shocked me, the police officer, the chief of police in Monty, mentioned how many people, he threw out a number, how many people are on heroin around the Montevideo area. Mm-hmm. And I just, what? Really? It was crazy.
Right. It's in your community.
It is. Every community.
Yes. So. Yeah. Every community.
All right.
So to make a contact with us, you can call our facility. And we have a nurse. She's a substance control nurse. Her name is Kathy. And the number to call to reach Kathy is 320-321-8273.
Okay.
And that will put you in touch with Kathy, and then she can answer questions. She's very knowledgeable about this subject, and she can make the connections to get you where you need to be.
And they get people in right away. When you call.
Yeah. You don't have to wait.
So that's the thing with the opioid in the brain. You need help now. And that's the nice thing about this program is they're going to get people in right away. They're not going to have to wait weeks to get in somewhere. They're going to get them in as soon as they can.
Yep. All right, Shelley.
Good.
Thank you so much for telling your story and coming in today.
Yeah.
And
thanks for having us.
Yeah, Marcy, nice to see you again.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
And you two are doing great work.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome work. I on the way home from Montevideo last week, I'm going, we got to talk about this.
Thanks for talking about it.
Yeah, the community has to have this discussion.
You know, it's a hard discussion, but you do have to have it.
Yep.
And, you know, keep in mind, this is a we thing. There's a team of people that put this together.
Yep.
And I meet people every day who keep up such good work.
All right. Go ahead, Marcy.
We're just dedicated to seeing this through. And like Shelley said, it's a team. There's not just two of us doing this. There's several of us working at it.
Right.
So, but we care.
Good. So, if like Marcy said, if you need help in this area, you can give this number a call, 320-321-8273. That's 321-8273, and ask for Kathy.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Shelley, for coming in, and
thanks.
Marcy.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
That's Marcy Schmiesing and Shelley Ellington from the Chippewa County Montevideo Hospital.
I'm in Calder's.